and welcome to the AMG Earnings Second Quarter 2016 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Steve Daniels. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to AMG's second quarter 2016 earnings call. Joining me on this call are Dr. Hein Schimmelbusch, the Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jackson Dunkel, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Eric Jackson, the Chief Operating Officer. AMG's second quarter 2016 earnings press release, issued this morning, is on AMG's website. Today's call will begin with a review of the second quarter 2016 business highlights by Dr. Schimmelbusch. Mr. Dunkel will comment on AMG's financial results, and Mr. Jackson will discuss operations. At the completion of Mr. Jackson's remarks, Dr. Schimmelbusch will comment on strategy and outlook. We will then open the call to take your questions. Before I pass the call to Dr. Schimmelbusch, I would like to read a statement concerning forward-looking statements. This conference call could contain forward-looking statements about AMG Advanced Metallurgical Group NV. Forward-looking statements are not historical facts, but may include statements concerning AMG's plans, expectations, projections, objectives, targets, goals, strategies, future events, future revenues or performance, capital expenditures, financing needs, plans and intentions relating to acquisition, AMG's competitive strengths and weaknesses, plans or goals relating to forecasted production, reserves, financial position and future operations and development, AMG's business strategy, and the trends AMG anticipates in the industries and the political and legal environment in which it operates, and other information that is not historical information. When used in this conference call, the words expects, believes, anticipates, plans, may, will, should, and similar expressions and the negatives thereof are intended to identify forward-looking statements. By their very nature, forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties, both general and specific, and risks exist that the predictions, forecasts, projections, and other forward-looking statements will not be achieved. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date of this conference call. AMG expressly disclaims any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statement contained herein to reflect any change in AMG's expectations with regard thereto or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which any forward-looking statement is based. I will now pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Stephen. During the second quarter of 2016, AMG generated $248 million of revenue, $26 million of EBITDA, and $24 million of operating cash flow. AMG Engineering achieved an EBITDA of $5.6 million during the second quarter, a 33% increase from $4.2 million in the second quarter of 2015. AMG Engineering signed $92.8 million in new orders during the second quarter of 2016, the highest quarterly order intake since Q4 2010, representing a 1.39 book-to-bill ratio. AMG Critical Materials generated EBITDA of $20.5 million during the second quarter, a 2% decrease compared to the second quarter of 2015. Year-over-year double-digit declines in the average quarterly market prices for certain critical materials resulted in a 10% reduction in revenues in the second quarter of 2016 compared to the second quarter of 2015. AMG's second quarter 2006 net income was $13.4 million, resulted in earnings per share of 48 cents. I would now like to pass the floor to Jackson Dunkel, AMG's Chief Financial Officer. Jackson.
Thank you, Heinz. The main headline for this quarter is AMG's solid performance in both AMG Critical Materials and AMG Engineering. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 4%, and profit before tax increased by 87% to $15.6 million in the second quarter of 2016 from $8.3 million in the second quarter of 2015. This improvement in our profit before tax was due to the strong financial performance in our operating units, combined with lower finance expenses, which was driven by lower debt levels and lower interest rates. The significant improvement in net income rolled through our earnings per share, which on a year-to-date basis has increased to 90 cents per share in 2016 versus 23 cents per share in the prior year. Weak commodity prices, however, continue to affect revenues in AMG critical materials. Despite select incremental metal price improvements versus the March quarter, AMG critical material revenue declined by 10% in the second quarter of 2016 relative to the same period last year. Cash flows from operations were also strong during the quarter, increasing to $24.3 million in the second quarter of 2016 from $11.3 million in the second quarter of 2015. I would like to note that the voluntary cash contributions made to the company's pension plans of $20.6 million were included with cash flow from operations in this quarter. I'd like to turn now to review of our two segments. Let's start with AMG Critical Materials. Second quarter 2016 revenue declined by 10% to $182 million compared to the second quarter of 2015, driven largely by weak metal prices. As you can see from the quarterly presentation we posted this morning, with the exception of vanadium, every metal in critical materials is lower priced this quarter versus the second quarter of 2015. Since most of our critical material businesses are metals processing businesses that sell materials based on market pricing, any declining metal price directly and materially impacts the top line across the board. In terms of sales volumes, strong sales of titanium alloys, aluminum master alloys, and natural graphite were partially offset by lower volumes of antimony and niobium during the quarter. Moving on to the gross profit for critical materials, it increased by $6.1 million in the second quarter of 2016 as compared to the same period in 2015, yielding a gross margin of 21%, which is a 500 basis point improvement over the second quarter of 2015. At the business level, gross profit increased in aluminum, chrome, tantalum, and silicon due to lower costs in each of those businesses, driven by our divisional management team's ongoing focus on manufacturing efficiency. These improvements were partially offset by lower gross profit in antimony, driven by lower volumes in the quarter. In addition, it bears noting that vanadium gross profit in the second quarter of 2016 benefited from a $3.6 million reversal of previously recorded inventory adjustment expenses due to improving vanadium, nickel, and molybdenum prices. This robust result in what is still a difficult trading environment is strong evidence of the portfolio effect of having eight distinct businesses in critical materials. Moving on to AMG Engineering. Their second quarter 2016 revenue increased by 19% compared to the second quarter of 2015, thanks to strong sales of plasma rebelting and induction furnaces for the aerospace market and heat treatment furnaces for the automotive market. Gross profit for AMG Engineering increased by $3 million quarter over quarter due to higher revenues, improved project cost management, and product mix effects. This higher level of gross profit led to an improvement in EBITDA of $1.4 million. AMG Engineering signed $92.8 million in new orders during the quarter, generating a 1.3 times book-to-bill ratio. Order backlog as of June 30, 2016 was $159 million, an increase of 17% compared to March 31, 2016. Order intake in the quarter benefited from a number of orders which had been postponed from the first quarter of 2016. AMG Engineering's strong order intake is being driven by ongoing demand from the aerospace market and increasing demand from the automotive industry for our market-leading vacuum heat treatment processes. Finance costs. AMG had finance expenses of $2.4 million in the second quarter 2016 compared to $5.3 million in the second quarter of 2015. The reduction in finance expenses of $2.9 million, or 55%, was driven by lower overall debt levels, a lower interest rate, and additional expenses incurred in 2015 as a result of the refinancing. AMG's tax expense continues to be volatile in 2016. The largest driver of the year-over-year variance relates to changes in the valuation of the Brazilian real. Movements in the real exchange rate impact the valuation of the company's net deferred tax assets. Due to the volatile nature of the company's deferred tax balances, AMG believes that the cash tax rate is a more meaningful metric. AMG paid taxes of $1.8 million in the second quarter of 2016 compared to $1.6 million in the second quarter of 2015. For the second quarter of 2016, AMG's effective tax cash rate was 11%. AMG continues to evaluate ways to manage the deferred taxes of the company, which are the key drivers of the volatility. Capital expenditures. AMG's capital spending in the second quarter of 2016 increased to $7.5 million from $3.3 million in the same period in 2015 due to expenditure on AMG's Anquabe graphite mine project, AMG Tax titanium aluminide project, and AMG Engineering's move to a new headquarters in Hanau. The planned Anquabe graphite expansion, as contemplated by the 40% investment in this business, will continue to contribute to higher levels of spending in 2016. AMG's liquidity. In terms of liquidity, AMG's balance sheet is exceptionally strong, and we are in full compliance with all debt covenants as of June 30, 2016, including our $125 million of cash. AMG had $268 million of total liquidity as of the end of the second quarter of 2016. AMG's net debt decreased by $11 million during the quarter due to lower levels of working capital driven by advance payments received by AMG Engineering. As previously communicated, AMG successfully completed the enlargement and extension of its syndicated credit facility in July 2016. The new facility, which was oversubscribed, has been increased from $320 million to $400 million, and the maturity has been extended from May 2018 to July 2021. The amended credit facility has improved terms and conditions, additional capacity, and a new five-year maturity, and will provide AMG with a stable capital base and additional liquidity for strategic growth opportunities. That concludes my remarks. I would now like to pass the floor to Eric Jackson, AMG's Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you, Jackson. As Hines and Jackson mentioned, prices for the majority of our products remained weak in the second quarter. However, with our ongoing program to manage price risk, increase productivity, lower our cost structure, and innovate, all of our business units are solidly profitable. AMG Vanadium's profitability increased substantially compared to the second quarter of the prior year, with the sequential improvement in ferrovanadium index prices. The business will continue to show strong quarter-over-quarter results in the second half of the year unless prices significantly weaken. Additionally, the management team continues to increase and diversify its raw material supply under long-term contracts. AMG antimony sales volumes decreased by 6% compared to the second quarter of the prior year due to difficult trading conditions and weakening prices. Management is confident, however, that full-year trading results will be in line with prior year as volumes and prices have begun to improve. AMG titanium alloys and coatings is performing in line with our expectations and better quarter over quarter and sequentially. Titanium aluminide sales volumes increased by 45% in the second quarter of 2016 compared to the second quarter of 2015, and gross margins almost doubled as we increased capacity utilization. Our titanium aluminide business continues to ramp up, and we are increasing capacity following the recently announced long-term contract with MTU Aero Engines AG. AMG Super Alloys quarterly results were ahead of prior year due to cost and productivity improvements, although volumes were largely unchanged. We continue to improve product mix to offset chrome weakness in chrome metal prices. It's interesting to note, however, that chrome metal exports from China have fallen by 79% year to date as the largest Chinese producer experiences liquidity problems. AMG Aluminum's quarterly results benefited from higher sales volumes and cost efficiencies identified through our global best practices exercises.
management is working on a number of initiatives to further optimize capacity utilization and product mix. Global demand for downstream aluminum products continues to be strong. AMG tantalum and niobium gross margin benefited from lower production costs compared to the prior year, partially offset by lower volumes of niobium oxide. Our operational and strategic focus in Brazil continues to be on increasing mineral processing recoveries, where we are having good success, and on executing our recently announced spodumene project. AMG Silicon delivered strong second quarter operating results, maintaining volumes while reducing conversion costs. AMG Silicon continues to generate exceptionally strong results, primarily driven by an effective risk management program and clear focus on improving productivity and maximizing co-product revenues. Production volumes will be lower in the second half of 2016 as we upgrade the last of our four furnaces. AMG Graphite revenue and sale volumes improved versus the prior year thanks to a 5% increase in volume. AMG Graphite continues to progress its investment in Mozambique, which is scheduled to be commissioned in the fourth quarter of 2016 with a capacity of 9,000 tons. AMG Engineering's second quarter 2016 EBITDA improved substantially compared to the prior year, thanks to strong sales in virtually all product lines. The exceptionally strong order intake during the quarter demonstrates the strength of the business, with a number of key contracts being finalized and prepayments being received during the quarter. I would now like to pass the floor to Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you. Sorry. Thanks, Eric. As explained in the past, during our austerity period, AMG reduced capital expenditures, but we did not interrupt our preparations for growth. With regards to our organic growth project, we are firmly focused on delivering our previously announced lithium, titanium aluminate, and graphite projects. Our lithium and graphite projects are closely related to the growth prospects of the energy storage market. These projects are highly accretive for AMG and will, over time, deliver significant value for our shareholders. In addition, we are pursuing acquisition concepts in certain critical material production units designed to achieve industry consolidation, both horizontally and vertically. In AMG Engineering, our strategic concept is to align our portfolio with proprietary technologies and with strong growth trends. These growth trends include titanium remelting, powder technology for additive manufacturing, and certain new superlight materials for aerospace applications for the next generation of engines. Where our two business portfolios overlap, we are able to innovate at an accelerated pace, the key example for this being our titanium aluminate development. We continue to pursue other opportunities to develop high-purity materials within our existing critical materials portfolio. We also remain committed to returning value to shareholders and have this morning announced an interim dividend in respect to the first half of the year of 13 cents per ordinary shares, euro cents per ordinary shares, an increase of euro cents 3 or 30% compared to the interim dividend paid in September 2015. In this challenging market environment, AMG expects full-year profitability to improve relative to 15. AMG will also continue to generate strong operating cash flows throughout the year. Operator, we would now like to open the line for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, as a reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our first question today comes from Philip Nagato of ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. I have a number of questions. The first one is on the lithium project. I was wondering if you could maybe give a bit more insight into what the possibilities are on phase two of the lithium project, and what the potential investment would be. I mean, I know it's still early days, but if you maybe could give a rough indication of what number we should be thinking of if we compare it to the phase one project. So that's my first question, like what is the potential investment? What are your thoughts on location? Why would that be? What are the considerations there? And also, when do you think this could the construction of this project could start, and the possible commissioning of the project? Then my second question is on potential acquisitions. You just mentioned it in the call, and I was wondering if you could give a bit more color on which areas you think you would like to expand in, or maybe on a product level, and also what size are you willing to go, and to what level of leverage are you willing to go in terms of if you could look at your balance sheet. So do you have a net debt EBITDA ratio in mind with it? Those are my questions for now.
Let me ask. You have thankfully said it's early stage, and we are preparing on all cylinders, more or less, the advancement of phase two lithium towards an investment decision, which is designated to be within this year, late in the fourth quarter. Presently we are in a fluid status. We have scoping studies by two prominent engineering companies behind us. And we are in pre-feasibility and feasibility work all around. We are also studying worldwide site selection optimizations as one would expect. The cash costs per ton, which are coming out of those scoping studies, for various product mix variations between hydroxide and carbonate, and there obviously are several routes how to produce downstream lithium products and combinations. But these cash costs came out below $4,000 per ton. I'm saying scoping studies. There are uncertainties, and then there is the site selection. When you add this uncertainties and the site selection sort of cloud around those numbers, it is maybe in this early stage prudent to say that in an optimistic scenario, the cash cost will be slightly above $4,000 per ton, and in a more conservative or maybe pessimistic scenario, it would be slightly below $5,000 per ton. That is the range. The range is, of course, very competitive. It is a very low-cost scenario. And the reason for that, obviously, is that we are not incurring any mining costs. The mining costs, it's not a mine behind this, it's a tailings pond behind this, and the costs producing the lithium-containing material, which is now residing in the tailings pond, or in future will be residing in the tailings pond, is borne by the mining operations of Tantalum. So that is the cost side. When I put this on the investment side, I want to be not as specific. because of the various combinations, we're not yet totally decided what really, which production route to go. But all these things, all these studies, scoping studies, are around order of magnitude $200 million. We have said 90,000 tons of spodumene. That's our plan, and that we will do. And then you translate that into carbonate or hydroxide or lithium carbonate equivalent, you come to 14,000 tons of production per annum. Now, we have certain routes to increase the production of spodumene and to increase the production, therefore, of downstream products. That is related to various mining plants which are under consideration. As regard to start up, I'm even more, so I think the degree of cautiousness in mentioning all these things increases. We are pretty certain on, or we are pretty confident on the cost level. We are still in order of magnitude territory as regard to the capex, and even more sort of order of magnitude as regard to startup and startup of engineering and construction. We are in certain engineering work already. We will make an investment decision maybe in November this year, and then the startup of construction will follow in a usual delay kind of a usual time frame. But I don't want to time this in order not to then in 2017 have to correct my words on that. Of course, you depending on the site, there's permitting. There are all sorts of things outside your control. As regard to the site selection, we of course have a worldwide search. There are the considerations as regard to closeness to the market. The market obviously is heavily clustered in Asia. We tend to believe that we will not build in Asia. It's not certain yet, but we are tending to AMG has operating experience on the ground, especially in two countries, namely in the United States and in Germany. So I wouldn't be surprised if the studies shortlisting the potential sites come out in this way, and we of course have already specific sites in mind as regard to this. If that answers your question.
Yeah, very useful. Very useful. And then maybe just a question on the M&A side. I mean, I appreciate the uncertainty also on what a potential investment might be for phase two, but it sounds relatively high. But does that also mean that M&A in that sense is also a bit lower on the priority list?
Well, absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. We have, during our austerity period, we have studied a variety of growth opportunities, and we came to the conclusion that given our pipeline of internal organic projects, that is the priority. That's a very simple reason. When you compare all these growth opportunities by a very powerful, simple criterion, which is cash out, capex or cash out, and normalized annual incremental EBITDA multiple, when you multiply that, then the multiples, characteristic multiples for the organic projects are decidedly lower than any acquisition multiples. We are a result of acquisitions as AMG. And we are sorry to say that we will now from now on be more organic growth oriented, simply because the projects are more accretive than dreaming about fast growth in acquisition terms. Also, the risk level of organic projects seems to be lower because we know every aspect of those projects and feel very comfortable in doing this calculation. So not only is the multiple lower, but the acquisition multiple tends to be intrinsically higher than the organic projects, and the risk level is also higher, or tends to be higher.
Yeah.
So I will even, you know, so that's what I think I have said it.
Yeah, okay, very clear, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question today, you simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now take our next question from today from Joost van der Stree from Kempen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I've also a question regarding the lithium project, but more on the phase one, actually. Can you give us an update on when you exactly expect the construction to start, and how is the process of signing some contracts going? Did you already sign some of these contracts, or how is it going?
So we expect the EPC contract to be signed in September 16.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the construction, can you say something about that? Last time I spoke with Steve, you were...
What we have stated is that we will be operational in the first quarter of 2018. So that's, I think, that's the guidance that we've given when we made the presentation on the project. So and I think that's you know, very, very reasonable.
Concrete signature, that's a flying start into construction, and within the first quarter of 18 we produce.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take a follow-up question from Philip Nagoto from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I have two more follow-up questions. First of all, maybe on the dividend. I think, yeah, good news that you increased the dividend. I was just wondering if would you also consider to give a bit more of a framework on more of a dividend policy? So, for example, as a percentage of maybe net profit. Or in any case, so that will there be a more stipulated dividend policy in the future? That's my first question. And then the follow-up question on the lithium project. I've seen a number of peers that have more lithium mines. They have agreed on offtake agreements or longer-term contracts with potential clients for them. For multiple years. I'm wondering, is that something also that you'll be looking into to lock in a price for your production?
Okay, on the dividend question, we are beginners in that territory. We just started to pay dividends in 15. We have settled on a mechanism right now where we are targeting 2.5% yield. Now, of course, how to calculate that? In this case of the 13 cents, we have based this on a calculation on it's a half-year dividend, and we take the half-year average share price, and when you multiply that by 2.5, the result is 13 cents. So that's the logic here. We will develop that logic, of course, but face of very, very transformational projects, and they need financing, and we want to be very conservative in financing. So the idea to large increases in dividend, I think, would be not prudent and will not happen. On the other hand, we want to let participate shareholders in our cash generation, and at present we are targeting this 2.5 in a prudent way, calculated in a similar way as I have just outlined. In case we have financing in place for the lithium phase two projection, all of that will be reconsidered, and if that is then behind us, and uncertainty in that regard is behind us, then of course we can settle in on a more aggressive and more predictable dividend policy. There's also one thing you have noticed. Obviously, that the volatility of our net income is relatively high, and that is due to the nature of our business, one, and two, to the nature of our tax structure. We are working on both fronts, and we have analyzed together with financial advisors how to formulate the dividend policy in this stage, and we came to the conclusion that, for example, a range of percentages of net income would not be prudent given that volatility which I have specified.
Okay, clear.
The offtake agreement. We also read about the offtake agreements. You know, in the real world, when you produce, or when you have an investment decision and a startup date and a quality specification, then you can enter into long-term contracts, which of course is our intention. Presently, we are still deciding the product mix, and we are still not, you know, able to specify exactly in phase two when will that happen and from where will we ship. We are in a variety of discussions and negotiations with the customers in this market, and we are well received, and we are obviously want to target a portfolio of long-term contracts. We believe that is prudent, and our also from a financial point of view, one wants to have predictable margins. So Mr. Eric Jackson, who is sitting next to me here, and myself, we are practically we are flying a lot these days to people who ultimately will buy this thing under long-term contracts.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Again, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. We now have an additional question from Joost van der Swee from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have one follow-up question regarding your working capital. I noticed that you improved your working capital further to 17 days currently, which I believe is partly due to the strong order intake for AMG Engineering. Is the 17 days a level which is sustainable going forward, or should we expect a rebound coming quarters?
I love my expression order of magnitude. And I think we are now at a level where we're very happy with, and
I think we would be happy if we can achieve similar results in the future.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no questions in the queue at the moment. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no further questions from the audience, so I would like to turn the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
No, thank you, operator. Thank you for your attendance today.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.